Well, good morning, and whether you are a regular at Spicer Street or are just listening in, it's very good to be speaking to you and looking at God's Word together. And this morning we're going to be focusing on Colossians 1 again, and I'm going to read to you from verse 24. Colossians 1 from verse 24. Paul writes, "Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me." Let's pray as we begin and ask that God would help us by the Holy Spirit to listen and to understand as we engage with his word. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you, we thank you that you are a speaking God, that you have made yourself known to us in Jesus. Please speak to us now that we may rejoice again in Jesus and be built up in the faith. And this we ask in his name. Amen. Well, it can't be an easy job at the moment, can it, to be the Prime Minister? He has some huge decisions to make. How are we going to come out of lockdown? Mr. Johnson, of course, wants to be guided by the science. But that, as we've all seen, is not as easy as it sounds. Why? Because there are all sorts of scientists saying all sorts of things. This week there was a group of scientists at, I think it was the University of East Anglia, who said they'd analysed the data and there was actually no point at all in lockdown. They're at one extreme. His advisers are saying he's doing it about right. But there'll be other scientists, of course, are saying that it wasn't done early enough, it wasn't hard enough. Which voice is he to listen to? It's not easy for him. And as with science, so with Christianity. Who should we listen to? There are a number of religions available in the marketplace. And when you home in on Christianity, there are a number of options. How are we to choose? From the whole range on offer. How would you choose when we think about how we are to grow in the faith? There's a whole raft of spiritual techniques out there. Get more into the sacraments, more into contemplative prayer, maybe read the mystics. Go into a bookshop and go to the section on religion and spirituality and you will see there's a wide range of options. And maybe you are listening in this morning as someone who is just thinking about Christianity. Well, who are you going to listen to and why? Maybe you are a youngster who will be heading off to university this autumn. And someone comes alongside you. Oh, it's great that you're trusting in Christ. It's great what your parents taught you and what your church taught you. But I have things to teach you that will really help you make progress. You see, who should we listen to in the marketplace of spiritual ideas? Whom should we listen to if we want to make progress in the Christian life? And that was the question facing the Colossian Christians. They had heard the gospel from a man called Epaphras. We learned that in chapter 1, verse 7. But Paul knows as he writes this letter that these Colossian Christians will be offered alternatives. They will hear other voices. They'll be offered other spiritualities. And Paul is very keen that they go on listening to him and believing what he taught them through Epaphras. Paul is very keen that they continue to have confidence in what he teaches. But why should the Colossians listen to Paul? Why should the Colossians stay tuned in? Why should we stay tuned in to the Apostle Paul? Well, let's see what he has to say about himself. Firstly, as we listen to Paul, we are to listen to Paul because he is God's appointed minister, or God's appointed servant. When you see the word minister in the Bible, it is the word servant. And when we see servant, we can use the word minister. In verse 23, he has already described himself as a servant of the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's a servant of that good news. He doesn't just describe himself here, though, in this section as a servant of the gospel. If you look down to verse 25, you will also see that he's a servant of the church, a servant of the body of Christ, a servant of the whole body of Christ. He is there for the sake of the gospel. He's there for the sake of the church. But who has appointed him into this servant, into this minister role as servant and minister of the church and the servant of the gospel? Well, verse 25 tells us that God commissioned him, the commission God gave me. He has this role by God's appointment. This was not a job that he applied for. Paul, as he was a kind of young man and coming up to the equivalent of A-levels, wasn't thinking about his career choices and went to the careers advisor at school and, you know, what you want to be, whether you could be a lawyer, a farmer, or a servant of the gospel or a servant of the church. They weren't kind of options that Paul had in front of him. God simply took hold of him and appointed him. You can read more of that commissioning in the book of the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 9. Actually, the story is told three times across the book of Acts. It's an amazing story. Paul was a man who was actually a devout Jew and who was against the Christian faith. He was persecuting the church and had been one of the ringleaders to having Stephen stoned. Stephen was one of the early Christian leaders, and these Jewish leaders had him stoned to death in Jerusalem. Paul was furious with the Christians. He believed they were wrong. And Saul, as he was known then, was determined to root out the Christians and to destroy this movement. He was based in Jerusalem, but had heard that there were Christians up in the synagogue in Damascus. That's about 150 miles north of Jerusalem. He gets authorization to go and find them so he can drag them out and bring them back to Jerusalem and put them into prison. But as he nears Damascus, lights flash from heaven and he is confronted by the Lord Jesus. And Jesus takes hold of him. Jesus shows him who he is and commissions him to be a servant of the gospel and a servant of the church. And these verses remind us, we haven't got time to look at the detail, that Paul, as a servant, as a minister, it would not be an easy task. These verses also speak of his suffering in this task. Christ suffered to save us, but those who will proclaim the gospel of Christ will also suffer. He strives for the Colossians. He works really hard in this role with all the power that God gives him. Why listen to Paul? Well, he's God's appointed minister, God's appointed servant for the gospel, for the church. Why do we listen to Paul? He's God's minister. And secondly, we see that he was appointed as a minister to make known God's mystery. His work is to make known the mystery. You see, what sort of servant is he? Well, there are all sorts of servants, aren't there, in life. Those that deliver takeaway are servants of one sort. They serve you food. They're kind of food servants. You call, you pay, they serve you. Those who help us when we are sick, doctors, nurses, serve us by seeking to make us well. They are kind of health servants. Those who serve the government we call civil servants. What sort of servant is Paul? Well, we see here in these verses he is a Word of God servant. He is to teach the Word of God in its fullness, and he is to present to people and make known to people a mystery. He's a servant on behalf of the church, he's a servant of God, to make known a mystery. And that word mystery comes up a couple of times in these verses. He is to teach a mystery. Now, what is a mystery in the Bible? It's not speaking about something that's mysterious. When Paul speaks about a mystery, he is speaking about something that wasn't known, but has now been made known. It was a mystery in the sense that it wasn't known. It was there but not known, but the mystery has now been made known. Let me just give you an example of a mystery in that sense. Let me ask you a question. What did my father do in the war? Some of you will know, but some of you will be sitting there thinking, I haven't got a clue. To me, that's a mystery. I just don't know. And unless someone tells me, I can't know. He did something in the war, but to me, it's a mystery. Well, let me reveal the mystery. Let me make known to you the mystery if you haven't already heard me tell you the mystery. He was in the Air Force. He was a navigator. He was in Wellington Bombers in the Middle East and did his bombing missions there. And then he flew dangerous special transport missions in Dakotas. And I can give you more details, but I can even show you a photograph here this morning. There he is. He must be about 24. He's on his way to get with his parents to get the Distinguished Flying Medal, I think, at the palace. The mystery has been made known to you about what my father did in the war. Well, Paul has been commissioned to make known a mystery. There was something that had been there but kept back, but now it was Paul's job to make it known. And the mystery there is in verse 27. Let me read it to you. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the mystery here is that something is now open to the Gentiles. Something is now being made widely available. And what is it that's being made widely available amongst the Gentiles? What is Christ in you, the hope of glory? Christ in you, Gentiles, the hope of glory. God in Christ has come to dwell in us, in us as a people, in us as individuals. The one through whom the universe was made and for whom the universe was made. The one who died upon a cross and rose and is ascended comes to dwell in us. He brings his salvation, his life, his transforming power. He brings us knowledge, and with that the hope of glory, the certain hope of glory. We will enjoy God forever. And this is available to Gentiles. This is massive news. You read it, if you read the Old Testament, yes, there was to be blessing to the nations. Yes, the Old Testament says Gentiles would come to the party at some stage. But the big news is they're coming as full members. Not as junior partners, not as just guest members, full privileges. Paul is making known the biggest news in the universe that wasn't known and is now to be made known. The Gentiles can have full salvation. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He comes to bring us his salvation, his life, his presence. And Paul, as the servant of the church, was the one who was given the task, along with his companions and those who worked with him, of making known this mystery to the Gentile world, that they could have salvation in Christ, that Christ would bring salvation to them and dwell in them and give them that hope of glory. We're just pausing and reflecting on this truth, Christ in us, the hope of glory. When people become Christians, sometimes they will look back and they will speak about the time when they invited Jesus into their lives. Now, I'm not sure that is always the best way of describing becoming a Christian. You see, when we become Christians, the big news is that Jesus invites us into his life. We come to him. The big news of Christianity is not that we accept him, but that he accepts us. But that language of asking or inviting Jesus into my life is not all wrong, is it? Jesus, I trust in you. I look to you for salvation. Please bring your salvation to me and dwell in me by your Spirit and transform me. Be my guide. Give me your life and take me into glory. And if you've not received Christ as Lord, if he is not dwelling in you by faith, if you do not yet know his transforming power, well, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, that is open to you. If you will turn to Christ and ask him to forgive you, to give you life, then you too will experience Christ in you and have that certain hope of glory. So why should we listen to Paul? He is God's minister, he is God's servant, and as God's servant he has been charged with the task of making known God's mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is from him that the Gentiles were to hear this great news. He would take it to them. And thirdly, we are to go on listening to Paul teach Christ so that we might reach maturity. You see, Paul was not happy just to see the Colossians become Christians and leave it at that. Nor was he satisfied just to fend off the false teachers. What did he want for the Colossians? Well, verse 28, he wanted maturity. He wanted them to be fully mature in Christ. You see, we are to go on being matured. We are to go on being perfected. Although that work will not be completed until Christ completes it in us on the last day. There's an important question. How do we mature in the Christian life? Lots of options out there. Just go to the bookshop, look online. And I suspect the false teachers coming, were hitting the Colossians, were probably offering maturity. You've made a great start. Now let us help you really push on to maturity. They were offering a program for spiritual growth. And of course, many of us would love to make quicker progress in the Christian life. And maybe you are tempted to find something, a weekend, a webinar, where special power which will take you to the next level. But what brings growth? Paul is concerned for the Colossians' maturity. What will bring growth? Well, look at the verse. Proclaiming, admonishing, teaching. Paul says, we, that is Paul and the other people who teach what he teaches, proclaim Christ, admonish and correct in Christ, and teach Christ. Do you want to grow in Christ, mature in Christ, be found on that, in Christ on that last day, mature and perfect? Well, Paul is saying, we must allow ourselves to go on being taught Christ. Allow him to be proclaimed to us. Allow ourselves to be admonished in Christ, to be corrected where we need to be corrected, in our beliefs and in our living. You see, it's not a special spiritual program. It's God's word being taught. It's about allowing Paul to teach us. We don't have Paul with us now, but we have his letters and we have the teachings of the other apostles. And who does Paul want to teach? Does Paul want to teach us a little clique? No, he's interested in teaching everyone. In the original language, there is an outbreak of the word all here in this verse. For teaching all, for all, so that everyone is matured. We are all to go on being taught. Who are we going to listen to if we are to go on in the faith? Who are we going to listen to if we are going to mature in the faith? Who are we going to listen to if we want to discover the truth of the faith? Well, Paul and the other apostles are God's servants to teach us Christ, to mature us in Christ. And Paul is teaching them about himself, so that they may go on listening to him, believing the gospel, believing the Jesus that he taught them, and maturing in Christ as they teach one another Christ. So as we close, can I invite you to respond in this way? Lord, through your word, through the Bible teachers at church, through growth group, through my parents, through YP, through my Sunday school teachers, through the whole church, please teach me Christ, that I may mature in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can say Christ in us, the hope of glory. We thank you that he has brought his salvation to us, that we who were excluded have been included, and he dwells with us, bringing his salvation and his transforming power. And we ask that you would help us to go on listening to you through your word. And as we take time in this lockdown to reflect, please make us good students. Help us to be correctable, teachable, and teach us Christ so that we may mature in Christ. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.